Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Buffalo from their own end. We'll get to center. And now to the blue line. Darlene all the way in to the net. Score! The captain put his team on his shoulders there with a power play goal. Sabres within one, trailing 4-3.
10 seconds later, after Darlene scored last night, they had the best opportunity to at least be even at four with Pittsburgh. A breakaway effort, great effort by Doan, was denied, and ultimately the Penguins win 5-3 last night. Buffalo falls to 3-2 in the preseason. They'll play same two teams tomorrow in Pittsburgh to close it out. Welcome into Sabres Live with Marty. I'm Brian. Grateful for our first broadcast back on MSG last night. Marty, we forgot to do one significant thing that maybe, but unlikely, resulted in the result last night.
Wow. I do not know what that would be that affected the results.
We did not check our teeth.
We did not check our teeth. Oh, yeah. We always, well, yeah. Although I had already gone to the restroom and brushed my teeth when I had to do like a little makeup adjustment. So I was pretty clear that my teeth were, but see, that's a bad
But you
teammate.
Were selfish. You weren't thinking of me.
I know. I was selfish. Very bad teammate of me to say, I don't have to worry about my teeth. And then I don't. But we did have, you know, it's funny because every year we, you know, we start again. And, you know, I forget how our crew and our staff is amazing because that little like dresser thing that my telestrator sit on was right next to me, like usual. The heaters were right there working as usual. And so I found scissors, I found my paper, I had water bottles still left over from last year. So, and the mirror, which we usually check our teeth in, was in there. So that was really good.
Yes. Well, other than that, which is completely irrelevant, what is your biggest story from last night?
My biggest story from last night is obviously the injury. You know, the injuries, I should say, with Luukkonen only lasting 20 minutes. And, you know, quickly the team's PR announced that he would not return with a lower body injury. Kesselring, it's, you know, nagging something, Lindy Ruff said after the game. Played a shift with a minute left in the second period, did not return for the third. So that's the concern. The concern is we all know the preseason is going to be cut down to four preseason games next year because they're adding the two regular season games, excuse me. But it's now. Like, we've got now Power and Byram and Samuelson and Greenway and Kesselring and Luukkonen and Oslin, and it's like, oof, that list, that laundry list is getting long. And I woke up yesterday thinking, can this preseason be over? I would have taken the start of the regular season last night because I don't want to see preseason injuries anymore.
Yeah, but regardless of whether it's four preseason games or six, the same risk exists regardless of the number of games, and that will continue into eternity, assuming that preseason games in all sports lasts that long.
But it made me change my thoughts on Friday. I always thought Friday was going to be the full lineup, right? Friday was going to be, let's go to Pittsburgh. The whole team's going to be there. They're doing some team bonding activities. Like, let's go. Put your full roster on the ice because it's Friday and then you don't play until the next Thursday. Mm-hmm. So that's what I thought. Now I changed my tune. Now I'm like, you know what? Like, can you not travel everybody? Can you put them in bubble wrap and just say, let's practice. Let's focus on practice. Allen Iverson practice and not a game. Let's not focus on the games, focus on practice. And that's kind of like where I'm at right now.
The long range forecast, or at least a week out from today, shows sunshine and a temperature representative of Tim Schaller's.
High 50s?
59.
That's what I had seen earlier. I wasn't sure if it was 58 or 59 for Tim Schaller, but yes, high 50s. So
59, you know, easy to remember because of the 59 sound, which during Tim's era here, my love for Gaslight Anthem was at a pretty significant level. So it's arguably their greatest album. Anyway.
Well, Pittsburgh's power play yesterday was 66.67%.
Yeah, so it looked good. Like, before Pittsburgh even scored their first goal of the game on the power play, and then they would score later on a delayed penalty, and then they would score later on the power play again. I was like, and I think this exact same thing happened in the preseason game here a year ago when Pittsburgh came in and there was some back and forth before the Sabres blew them out. I was like, you've got a new coach here and none of your regular power players who, you know, for all, like, Pittsburgh's missed 3 years in a row now, and they went through, I feel like a long period of time, maybe it wasn't that long, in the previous season and maybe even early last year where the power play wasn't great. Their power play ended up being very good last season in Pittsburgh. And I was super impressed by the guys who were afforded that opportunity on Pittsburgh last night as far as their puck movement was concerned. And you and I talked briefly off air after the game about that, where do you tip your cap to the opposition having a good night on the power play, or because we hear from the Sabre players and we hear from the Sabre coach and that's our fixation, like, are you just more echoing the sentiments of Lindy Ruff after last night?
Yeah. I'm more echoing the sentiment of Lindy Ruff that there was some bad decisions, bad positioning, bad reads. It felt like Pittsburgh could move the puck, have the one-timers wide open. We saw some great block shots, but block shots means usually you're out of position. You got to recover to get in a position and desperately try to get in the block shots. So if the front net defenseman leaving the front of the net, allowing somebody to walk right in. Mm-hmm. That was Tomasino for the first goal, you know, from the guy back door. The same thing on the second power play goal. To me, this was, and maybe a bit of a light bulb will go off, and because they've been working on the penalty kill, they've been working at putting pressure and being quick to recognize where you have to be. Mm-hmm. They were slow to recognize what was going on yesterday in the game. So you can practice all you want, and you can look really good in practice. You're going to have to start doing it in the games. Mm-hmm. So last year, the Sabres were 23rd. In penalty kill at 76%. Mm-hmm. The year before, they were almost at 80% Duffer, 79.8, and that was 13th.
Right.
But in the last 6 years, that was the only time they were inside the top 20 on the penalty kill.
But as you say, not even over 80%.
Not even 80%. The last time they were 80% was 2018, 2019,
right,
where they were 80.9, and that was 12th in the league.
Yeah. It's funny because when we talk about those numbers specifically, it is, I think, very much less about where you rank league-wide. It's about having an acceptable standard, or at least a base standard, and whether you're splitting hairs between 80% and 79.5, I guess is kind of ridiculous, but we just, I think that's kind of where you start, right? And where
it was,
you hope.
15 teams over 79% last year, Duffer. Yeah. So if you say 79 or 80, okay, so there was only 11 teams over 80, but there was 15 over 79. So let's do 79 as a bar, right? You mm-hmm. say got to be over 79. Well, over the last 7 years, only twice have the Sabres been over 79% on the penalty kill. Like, that has to be better. And it comes down to defending, and it comes down to not being down 1-0, not having to have Norris score right away after, not being down, you know, on the third goal. Like, that's what it comes down to.
So there are many ways to measure this, and maybe it doesn't need to be dissected to this level after a preseason game. But if you are following storylines, it clearly became one last night that they didn't win the special teams battle. That's why we're talking about it. But do you remember what I asked you after the game as it pertained to players in these situations for Buffalo and what you would like to see? Because obviously they're without a
No.
lot of defensemen now, including Kesselring in the third period.
Yeah.
And my question to you was, well, who should be the Sabres' go-to pair
Oh yeah, in the penalty kill.
defensively on the penalty kill? And like last year, for example, the two highest minutes guys, shorthanded time on ice per game, Matias Samuelsson at 247 and Connor Clifton at 245.
Yeah.
Now, you can quickly, based on what you were just talking about, overall percentage on the kill and league rankings, like you could say, okay, well, they played a lot, but how impactful were they? You know, were they on the good side? Were they killing most of them? And then it was the secondary group that was always getting scored on. And there's a way to show that. We can get into it. But again, I don't know if the preseason right now is the time. But
No.
Samuelsson wasn't playing. Clifton is gone. And Byram would have been the next defenseman. And he's skating today. And, you know, as Lindy Ruff suggested yesterday, like maybe he plays on Friday. Now I think you might go with the bubble route option, like you were talking about, and not play him at
Sure.
all. And then Owen Power was the fourth defenseman, as far as time on ice on the
Yeah.
kill. And he too was not playing last night. So I think with the turnover on the blue line and now the injuries, I think this is a super valid question as far as who should be your guys when healthy to start the penalty kill.
So you look around the National Hockey League last season, and the defenseman with the most ice time, shorthanded, number one was Esa Lindell in Dallas, then Mike Madison, Montreal, Gavrikov, Fervari, Mikey Anderson, David Savard, Ian Cole, Slavin, Sergachev. Like there's guys that have, you know when you go on a penalty kill, they're jumping. They're first off the bench. They know they're there. And I, other than Darlene, but even Darlene, I'm like, should that be his role? Should that be his role to be the first defenseman off the bench? My thinking would be Kesselring. Now that I'm like putting it all together, I'd say Michael Kesselring would be my go-to. And if he's out there for a minute 25 of a 2 minute penalty kill, I'm fine with it. But I don't have enough tape on Michael Kesselring personally to say that's the guy. Like
He
Matias
did
Samuelsson.
not kill last year for Utah.
He did
Even
not. Yeah.
in the absence of their top defenders to start the year outside of Sergachev, and which is what allowed Kesselring to have a full season and then be, you know, desired by other teams. And obviously Buffalo picked him up. I mean, he played less than half a minute per game on the penalty kill. That is
Yeah.
usually kind of like the late last shift. You've killed off most of it, that kind of stuff, right? That's how you land on that kind of time on ice per kill in a game. And it's understandable because Kesselring was not a super established NHLer,
Yeah.
right? So I think you're right. I think instinctively people would want to give Kesselring the room here to establish himself in different ways than Darlene, Byram, and Power as a presence, right? All situations, but mostly even strength and perhaps PK.
And I also think like the next, maybe if you say, okay, Kesselring, he may be needed for other things. And he's not a power play guy. So if you're not a power play guy, you're going to be a penalty kill guy. You're going to be 5-on-5 penalty kill. I think Matias Samuelsson was the obvious choice probably because you're like, he's big, he's tall, he's lanky. He has gotten himself, blocking shots, but he's also gotten hurt. I don't know if that's in his mind right now. Like every time I block a shot, I get hurt. There's been a lot there. Some guys it affects them. Some guys it doesn't. And then it's Connor Timmins, and I'm like, could Connor Timmins come in and kill penalties? And on the second power play goal when he backed out in the high slot, If it had just been Connor Timmins backing out in the high slot, I would be like, oh, he didn't understand what he was supposed to do. But Dahlin did the same thing on the first power play goal. So I'm thinking, was that what they were being taught to do? Mm-hmm. Like, to be careful with the bumper guy, but you opened the lane to the net. So I'm going to have to pay closer attention to Connor Timmins. But technically, Dahlin, Power, and Byram are going to be your power play guys. So that leaves you with Kesselring, Samuelson, and Timmins, if and when everybody's healthy, to be your penalty kill guys. So, and Dahlin would obviously be in the penalty kill as well.
So do you feel like, based on the injuries, do you feel like the Sabres know ideally who they want? Or are they unsure because of the limited viewings here in the preseason?
I think there's a lot of uncertainty right now. When you think of next Thursday, what is our penalty kill going to look like on the back end? You may have to lean on Dahlin a little bit more to get more minutes on the penalty kill, which means, I mean, what did he play yesterday? I think he was at 27 minutes. Why? Because you didn't have Kesselring in the third period, and you're playing with Mertka, and so he played a ton. And I don't want to see Dahlin play 27 minutes in a preseason game, but it's almost like you had no choice. So again, do you want to play Dahlin 27, 28, 29 minutes right away at the start of the year? You may have to. That may be what Lindy Ruff's going to have to resolve to.
He also, the captain, had 12 shot attempts last night, including his goal. And, you know, a lot of that came, or opportunity for that came on the power play, which didn't connect. Do you want to quickly put a bow? Oh, sorry. It connected on his individual rush. But in the earlier stages of the game, when it was close, Pittsburgh was winning the special teams battle. Buffalo was not, based on their lack of power play success.
I felt like they had chances, right?
We
highlighted Tage Thompson's one-timer on the first and second power plays and the plays coming from the goal line. I did feel like they had some really good looks. Mm-hmm. So to me, I was more encouraged by the power play and their looks than I was by seeing the penalty kill and the trouble that they were having in their positioning. So the power play, look, scoring goals, I think the Sabres are going to score plenty of goals this year. I think the power play is going to get plenty of good looks and success. It's not going to come down to it. It's not going to come down to the power play and scoring goals. It's going to come down to the other end of the ice.
Well, just a quick update from practice that's ongoing right now. We mentioned Byram being out there. Up front, Benson is not. And as you would expect, Lukanen in goal is not out there. Kesselring, not out there. Power, not out there. But was, you know, around in shorts, sweatshirt, sneakers, that kind of thing. And obviously Samuelson's week to week, so you're not going to have him in this daily update per se. The group seemingly, from captain to coach and others, was trying to be glass three quarters full, I think, at least in the post game last night. When you wake up a day later, like how do you, and now that you have a little bit of evidence of who's on and who's not, I mean, what do you think at this point in time for next week?
See, Benson, I thought Krebs filled in really nicely on the top line last night. Like, if there was one guy that I'm like, okay, he was put in a position to play an elevated role, and I really was having my doubt as to how that was going to respond. I thought Krebs did well on the left side with Norris and Thompson. And if you have Benson, great. If you don't have Benson, Norris and Thompson are a duo. They're going to be fine together. I think up front, you're okay. I think up front with the McLeod, Tuck, and Zucker line, you're good. Cooley, Quinn, Doan line, you're good. Whoever's going to fill in on the fourth line, you're going to be fine up front. And this will be weird. And Steve asked this question on X. He says, well, if UPL is not ready long-term, do you go Lyon and Georgiev, or do you go Levi or Lyon, and what do you do? I'm fine with Lyon and Georgiev. Look, it was Georgiev was okay yesterday. It wasn't a start. There's a lot going on. It's preseason. Lion has looked good in preseason and in practice. I'm okay with Lion and Georgiev. I don't know who I would pick right now to start next Thursday, but I'm okay with that. I am not okay with the bodies on the back end that are missing. I am not, because that is, to me, the point of emphasis all summer. We have to be better defensively. We have to be better on our group on the blue line. We acquired Michael Kesselring. We're hoping Samuelson is going to be giving us the boost that we need. You go and get Connor Timmins. Bryson Mertka. Like, Mertka has been great, and he's 18 years old. Last night, he had a rough night. Like,
good. Let's try to reserve the – I don't know if you're hearing me today. Great is to be reserved for later. He's been good.
He's been good. He's been good, but last night was a tough night, and that's fine. Yeah. I'm okay. Like, you know, he was going to play with Bryson, and it was going to be a bit of a difference in what it is. Maybe Ryan Johnson has to step up. Made a nice play on the first Norris goal, that bank pass off the wall to Krebs. But that's, to me, the puzzle is not really fitting as well on the blue line right now as it is up front and even in net, even though you're missing a piece.
TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger makes his season debut with us at the bottom of the hour here on Sabres Live. We continue to discuss the ongoing evolution of this roster to its conclusion of the preseason on Friday, and then how it could look on Thursday when the season begins against the New York Rangers. The list of injuries around the NHL is extremely long. There have also been some very significant signings since last we spoke with Darren Dreger. So there is a lot.
Which was by the way? When did we have Dregs on the show last?
Well,
would it have been like July?
No, because I don't think he's around after free agency, right? It would have been June, yeah.
Maybe leading up to free agency, like the week before July 1.
Maybe,
So, 3 months break, 3 months off, we're getting Dregs back. July, August, September.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think you're right about having a question in goal. Like, I think it's Alex Lyon to start like 100% and more.
I would tend to agree with you there, but it just, when the camp started and then they signed Georgiev and he's in practice, and I thought, well, Georgiev has looked good first game, right? They go into Columbus and he looked really well. Then Lyon, it was okay. But I do think Alex Lyon has carved himself a spot now where the guys love talking about him. He's obviously a good teammate, but he has looked really good in practice. And they've had a three-goalie rotation in practice. He had a big smile on talking to, assistant coach, goalie coach Mike Bills off to the side. Like, a lot of guys don't love having to rotate. Lyon's like, I'll get in when I get in. He seems to be perfect for what's been happening. But also, if you need him for first night starter, he'll be ready for that too.
Do you not carve out, to use, I think, what you just said, your role in a situation like this where the incumbent is hurt? Do you not carve that out on the first week of July when you sign a multi-year deal with the team? Like, to me, like, isn't that establishing a pecking order?
Yes. But when I, like, for example, I signed a 2-year deal with the New York Rangers to be Lundqvist's backup. Mm-hmm. My first time around, I knew if something happened to Lundqvist, I was going to be the guy. I was a starter in Philly 2 years removed and whatever. But 2 years later, when I signed another 2-year deal to be, you know, with the New York Rangers for two more years, and my mind, seeing what else was happening, and now my role being more as a backup goaltender, you play your 15 to 20 games. Mm-hmm. I kind of had a feeling like if something was to happen to Lundqvist, would they be looking for somebody to come in and play the main guy's role, or would I slide into that? I think it changes depending on how long you've been in that role and how long we've been with the team, and, you know, so.
And to that point, Levi has been here longer, and I'm sure that's where, you know, you're not going to get a consensus, but like a unanimous opinion here of who should be next man up in the crease if Luukkonen's not ready, because some would turn to Levi again. I'm sure of it.
I think that we've had a clear indication of what the plans for Levi was this year, especially at the start with the team. He got a third period in the first two games against Columbus. He's been, you know, in Rochester. As soon as players were eligible to go to Rochester and start camp, he's been there. But, you know, we showed the schedule on the broadcast yesterday, the first five games, right? Four at home. What happens is after the first five games, after the Florida game, you're on, you know, you're thinking about, oh, we have four games this week, Montreal, Detroit, Toronto, Toronto, and we're 1-4 and goaltending hasn't been good. Well, that could be your time to say, hey, okay, let's call up Levi. But it's not going to be in the first 2 weeks. I can guarantee you that. Like, that's not the plan. The plan is Lyon should be able to get it done. And if not, Georgiev should be able to get it done. And we'll get to there maybe later in the month if we have to.
Right. And that's a really good way to look at it. I was merely looking at it from, if you were to ask people on social, I'm sure you would get some trickling in comments of Levi, just based on the fact that they see, and it's not that I don't, I just think, you know, it's reasonable for some people to see growth in Levi based on the year he had last year, which is what a lot of people were clamoring for, which is show me what you can do over the course of a full season in the American Hockey League. Well, he did that. And while he may seem on that path once again this year, injuries have a way of just kind of upsetting the old cart and, you know, causing you to have significant reevaluation of whatever position is being challenged by these injuries. So,
and your point to Lyon when he signed a 2-year deal, 1.5 a year, it's backup, right? It's like we're seeing $2.5-3 million backups in the NHL. Like 1.5 is he's coming in for backup. But there was people on social and some fans that probably thought, you know what, Alex Lyon 3 years ago saved the Florida Panthers season, got them in the playoffs before Bob took over in the playoffs and they went to the final and then won consecutive cups. Alex Lyon was good in Detroit last year. I wouldn't be surprised if Lyon is given a bigger piece of the goaltending crease. So I think there was people that didn't just see the role of Lyon as a backup. They saw the role of Lyon of go ahead and compete. Try to take some starts away from Luukkonen, and that would mean you're doing good, and there's a reason why they're playing you.
Of course, beyond our updates from practice today, make sure you stay with Sabres Social for all the latest, and especially after practice when the comments come in from the coach and presuming updates again on what the lineup could look like tomorrow in Pittsburgh, and that is the preseason finale. The regular season begins a week from today, KeyBank Center, October the 9th. The New York Rangers come in a 7 p.m. start, just to reiterate that, based on some of the opening week start times.
At 5? We're not starting at 5 on
And you know
Thursday.
What? Like, I need to, like, kind of reshape that narrative or whatever it is I'm on when it comes to that game. Give me a million East games starting at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, like, whatever. I'm happy. It's just my only reason that I pick at this scab is it's the defending two-time Stanley Cup champions that are playing at 5 o'clock. That's it. Like, the Hawks deserve to play at 5 o'clock. Quite frankly, the Panthers do not deserve to be starting and raising a banner at that time. Anyway, is there a young Sabres fan in your life who would enjoy not only 5 p.m. games, but exclusive ticket offers, fun gifts, special event invites? Sign them up for the Sabres Kids Club today. Visit sabres.com/kidsclub to join in on all the fun this year. Oh, how the fun will
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll continue with Darren Dreger from TSN next.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Man, did we miss this guy. Darren Dreger, hockey insider from TSN, is back. Hi, Dregs. How are you?
Well, I'm ill prepared is what I am. I just realized a minute ago I've got my studio lights on, but it's very technical stuff here in the home studio. I don't have the lights on above. So I apologize if I look like I'm in a dark sort of dungeon, but I think we can be, you know, I don't just have the ring light like most podcasters and video streamers. I've got actual TV lights right in my home studio. So right now that's all we're working with, but I apologize. Next Thursday, next Thursday I'll be in Winnipeg, so we'll have to do it remotely next Thursday.
Will you be reporting on Kyle Connor's new contract?
Well, I hope so for Winnipeg's sake, but I feel like that's doubtful. I mean, I know we're going to dive right into the contract news around the NHL. Every contract has its challenges, obviously, but it gets even more delicate when you're a small market team. I've never had this conversation with ownership in Winnipeg, but historically, you can look at the contracts that they've signed with their bigger players, and they've done a masterful job of keeping signing bonus out of it. And the structure of those deals is always very, very clean. But what if you're a player that looks around the league and goes, well, wait a second, I'm every bit as good as that guy, or I'm better than this guy. Look at the structure of that contract. I want that. So I think that that's what both sides are challenged with right now, is whether or not they can come to an agreement on what the structure of a deal would look like.
Oh, that's why, like, Kaprizov is going to make almost $40 million in the first 12 months of the deal. Like, he'll get a check for 18.1 July 1 next year, make $1 million, and then in another 18.1 July 1 the year after, and in 12 months, he'll get like $38 million. So that's why players look at that. We talked Cal Connor. Alex Tuck is in the same boat.
Right.
Early in the summer, I thought, $7.5 to $8 million for Alex Tuck would probably be the number. All of a sudden, it's like 8.5 to 10. Pierre LeBrun reported that it may be double digits or maybe $10 million. Like, whoa, like, Are we talking that those guys are going to get $10+ million?
I mean, it's possible, but if we're being specific here to Alex Tuck, one side says there's no real update. The other side is the update is ongoing discussion. So that's really no update there. We know he's in year 7 of a 7-year deal. Some players, and I don't know what Alex's position on this is, maybe he's talked about it publicly and I've missed, some players hate the idea of going into the final year of their contract. I mean, unrestricted free agency is great when you have a good year, you're willing to move, you're willing to embrace all of the things that go into the wonders of unrestricted free agency. Some guys don't like that, right? Some guys are negatively influenced on going into the final year of their deal. They don't like the lack of security and the uncertainty and all of those things. I know that Alex Tuck would be happy to stay and extend in Buffalo, but doesn't sound like they're into the heavy lifting of looking at what that is, both in term, because he's what, 29 turning 30? It doesn't sound like they're into the heavy lifting of what that would look like, both on term and financially. But I would bet that the parameters have been discussed by Kevin Adams and the Bartletts. I would assume that's been the case.
Well, based on what you just said, do you think, or do you have an inkling as to which players in this much talked about group that could use extensions now to prevent them from going to unrestricted free agency. Do you see anyone in that group that, that you think is more wired to wait it out and become a UFA?
It's a tough one, right?
If you say Connor McDavid, it's going to be played on all the radio station and the podcast everywhere.
But I would say Connor McDavid, and that's fine. I'll live with that. Because I believe that that's the reality of the situation. Mm-hmm. And if McDavid signs a contract extension, frankly, I think it's going to be a short one. I think you're looking at a 2-year extension in Edmonton, and you know he's got his own personal reasons for why that would be. You know, I do think that, again, circumstances are different for everybody. You think of Jack Eichel. Eichel isn't going to get from the, at least I don't believe he's going to get from the Vegas Golden Knights what he would get as a true unrestricted free agent. I mean, you put a superstar player like that, you know, into the open market, of course they're going to be teams that step up and pay him a boatload. And maybe you're having those conversations creeping up to Kirill Kaprizov, right? I mean, getting into the mid to high teens. Mm-hmm. But my understanding is Jack loves it in Vegas. He's had a ton of success in Vegas. Mm-hmm. McCrimmon is shrewd when it comes to finding ways to make that salary cap function work. So I feel like he's less of a threat. I think McDavid probably has the stomach to take this thing the distance. I don't know that he will, but I definitely think he's got that sort of mojo around him.
Love that.
What are the Florida Panthers going to do with Barkov? Because I just, with the new CBA, long-term IR doesn't work the same way as it did in the past. Like a $9 million player, like Matthew Tkachuk, for example, you can't take the full 9.5 relief because he's on regular season long-term injury. It's only 3.8 million max.
Yeah.
And they have to make a decision on Barkov to see if he's going to miss the whole season and the playoffs. And the playoffs. So then they can take the full 10 million in long-term IR. Or if they only take 3.8, hoping that he can come back in the playoffs. So what is Florida going to do there with the new rules this year with long-term IR?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who you talk to there and what we're talking about here in terms of the length of recovery. Mm-hmm. My sources close to the Florida Panthers think best case scenario for Barkov is February to return. Well, if he's able to return in February, then obviously he's going to be a playoff participant. Provided there are no setbacks, and that 3.8 applies. I get the sense from Billy Zito in that group that he's just willing to keep his powder dry, just see what develops over the course of the year, see how certain players respond, because that it has to be by committee now, right?
Yeah.
And they've got a talent pool there. Maybe on certain games, nights, stretches, they've got to play differently than what we're accustomed to the way they play. Mm-hmm. You know, that aggressive style with Tkachuk and Barkov and all of that. I know that Paul Maurice is the man for the job. Like, this guy's magical when it comes to adapting. So I still think that Florida is going to be a top contending team. I do. And just based on the conversation that all general managers had in the offseason, most of them looking for a second line center, those players aren't available, right? They're just not. They're not available until you get into a good chunk of the regular season. And maybe there's another Nashville Predators story out there, right? A team that most of us thought was going to be better until they weren't. And, you know, then you've got some floundering internally. Is there a team out there that potentially is going to look like that 20 games in? And maybe there is a panic move that Billy Zito scoops up. But for the moment, I think he's willing to just endure, work with what they have internally, and stay patient in the process.
Well, you mentioned Nashville, so I wanted to make sure this got to air today. Andrew Burnett with one of the best quotes. Because as you would expect, and we've talked about it lots, you know, who's on the hot seat to start the year, and you got Pete DeBoer sitting out there. Anyway, this gem from Brunette, you know your terminal once you take the job. And so he has known since the time he stepped behind that bench that it could end, and perhaps not well. So, I mean, the Predators are going to be what this year? Do you think they're going to have the bounce back with that star power that they wowed, you know, in free agency with last year?
I don't. I think they're going to be more competitive. I don't think it's possible for them to be more inconsistent than what they were last year. But there was a reason why all of that talent didn't find a way to click and come together. And I don't know that they, it doesn't appear to me anyway, mm-hmm. from looking at it from the outside perspective, that they addressed those concerns or those needs. So I individually, I guess it'll be up to those top end players that were brought in to figure it out. By all accounts, Andrew Burnett is a really good coach. Mm-hmm. I know that Barry Trotz, as general manager, has been trying to be active. But, you know, there's also some head-scratching scenarios that still exist around this team. I mean, we've seen good young players extended. Now, you know, I wouldn't put Luke Evangelista in the category of Luke Hughes or, you know, any of the top RFAs, but he's a pretty good player. He's a pretty good young player. And it's surprising to me that they haven't found a way to get a piece like that into the mix, you know, to keep a balance between young and the middle of the pack and then some of the older players that are bona fide stars. So I'm hesitant to grade the Nashville Predators until we're 10, 15 games in.
Yeah, it's
hard. You know what? If Ryan O'Reilly didn't have 2 years left on his deal, I would say he'd be a prime candidate for, you know, Nashville comes off the blocks bad again, and he's making $4.5 million. Florida scoops him up. He fits in. But there's another year, you know, 2 years. Tough. But Bill Zito's probably saying, you know what? If I have to do it, and I'll figure it out next year. That's what he's thinking.
It's the way he works, and he's better at it than most. You know, Julian Brisebois, the Tampa Bay Lightning, is, you know, there's another general manager that, you know, when you've got the support of ownership to do whatever it takes, and you've got a real solid nucleus of players to work around and insulate, then maybe it's easier to manage that way. But it's never easy when you're trying to manage a salary cap. It's not unlimited. And as we talked about earlier, with the new adjustments in the collective bargaining agreement, it's going to be a challenge, but Zito historically has found a way to do this stuff, right? I mean, to land Brad Marchand basically 2:30 Eastern on trade deadline day, like that's just insane. And then even the Seth Jones deal, like Seth Jones looked like this guy was struggling mightily, and that was a bust of a contract in Chicago until he lands in Florida and learns that system and gained some confidence and was a big part of another Stanley Cup championship. So I'm not worried about Florida.
Real quick, you know,
now they signed Mikola.
Yeah. 8 years, $5 million per. Again, just they find a way to get stuff done.
And Buffalo's dealing with injuries, as are so many teams. Is there an injury, one in particular, or a team that you think is, you know, really going to be impacted by this to start the year?
That's a good question. So two that come to mind as you're asking the question. I'm wondering about the Zuccarello influence on the Minnesota Wild. You know, again, it's, what is it, 7-8 weeks? It's better part of 2 months. Well, a lot of stuff can happen in 2 months. And the Minnesota Wild, you know, they're riding the headlines of the Kaprizov mega extension. You know, the Rossi extension. I mean, there's a lot of good things around that Wild organization. So that's a bit of a kick in the shins because he's an influential piece. They're not going to fall off a cliff. Don't get me wrong. I still think they're a contending team, but I do think there's going to be some bite there. And I don't know, man. I think the Oilers are coming back. I do. And it's not the distraction of Connor McDavid. He's going to play the wheels off of everybody because that's what he is. Not having Zach Hyman for, again, a good chunk here to start the year and those younger players that they're trying to rely on. I think what happened, to be fair, you know, now we've got Draisaitl and McDavid playing together because Draisaitl and McDavid, through the early goings of training camp, probably looked to their left and right and went, I don't even recognize the guys on my line here. They've never played in the NHL. Like, what are we doing here? And then the next thing, you know, Knobloch says, oh, no, no, you guys will be playing together to start the year. But without Hyman and some other questionable pieces there, I think Edmonton's in a tougher spot.
Last one for you, Martin.
Dregs, what was your, because we haven't talked to you in the summertime, and I want to know, like, what was the highlight of the summer for Darren Dreger?
That is a good question.
If it was tougher, it'd be a concert, but you know, yeah. That's just what it is.
No, I mean, did lots of fishing, a bit of golf. So, you know, I mean, that's all part of the lifestyle out there. My brother and sister-in-law live about 3 minutes up the hill away from the lake. I'm lakefront, not bragging. That's just the geography of how it works. We had a black bear walked right up to their front door on their deck. Yeah, just sat there. I'll forward you guys the picture. It would be hilarious if it wasn't a man-eating bear. I mean, black bears aren't man-eaters, but still, it was just sitting on their deck in front of their screen door, staring inside their cabin.
We got to go, Dregs. We'll see you again next week.
There yeah, guys, he is. Take care.
Darren Dreger, hockey insider from TSN. I hope he finds a parking spot someday. We're back after this.
With more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resort.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports and casinos. Nothing else comes close.
How would you like to be a contest winner? Marty, can you share the details?
Well, it's very easy because we just posted on X at Sabres Live a quick question, an easy question. How many goals do you think Tage Thompson scores this season? So you reply with a prediction, whatever you want to see, and you are going to have a chance to win a pair of tickets for the home opener. So go to Sabres Live on X, respond to the question, Tage Thompson, how many goals? And you could be a winner, and you could be there on Thursday night against the New York Rangers.
Doug Barry, born on this day. He was an original Sabre. Game one, they won in Pittsburgh 2-1. He was on the ice. A year later, Don Luce would become his teammate, and it's Don Luce's birthday today, too.
Happy birthday to Doug and Don. But obviously, my relationship with Don Luce started in 1995 on the stage at the old Northland Coliseum in Edmonton when I was drafted, and he was part of the hockey operations.
All right, three baseball games today. There's preseason hockey tonight, and we're back tomorrow on Sabres Live.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.